Everybody, please stand this way, your warrior. Tell everyone a man. Good evening, friend. Your name somehow I can't recall right now, but know you all I know. Good evening, friend. Here's Herr Blum, one time Madame, Monsieur Berry, one star Terry. I know you all I do. Good evening, friend. Pull up a chair and turn the lights down low. You let out town to tow. Good evening, friend. We're on the air just once a week, you know. Each week a grand show for you, my friend. The music starts, the curtain parts, an hour of fun for everyone. Although it's true that I cannot meet you, I almost feel I do. Good evening, friends. Thank you, folks. Thank you. Here it is, Saturday night again, and I want to tell you honestly, it's a pleasure to welcome you to Shell Chateau. Why? Because tonight I'm probably happier than I've been in the past 7 years. And ladies and gentlemen, there's a reason why I'm happy today. I am married 7 years today. And wait a minute, folks. In Hollywood, it's like Gene Matthews, 700. That's a record. And what a show we have tonight. Shell Chateau is proud. And I know Mr. Chef and handsome hero of more big than you could count will present a very exciting one-act play. In talking about that actor whom the men all hate and the women love, I'm speaking of Ricardo Cortez. And there's one thing I admire about him, and that is the moment he gets through making a picture, he isn't interested in nightlife like most of the others are. He goes off on his little farm and leads a real, quiet, normal life. He invited me up to the farm the other day, and when I arrived there, I saw him feeding the strangest-looking bird I've ever seen in my life. I turned to Cortez and I said, "Mickey, what kind of a bird is that? What in the world do you call it?" He said, "Well, Al, you see, I've been cross-breeding parrots with hens. And this is the result." And I said, "Well, what's the idea?" And Ricardo said, "Well, when she gets ready to lay an egg, she walks up to me and says, 'Boss, where do you want me to put it?'" Oh, that's nothing. For novelty, we have a brand new champion, Wilmer Allison, who just won the American singles tennis champion from the Englishman, Fred Perry. And at this very moment, he's playing a five-set double match in the Pacific Southwest Tournament. For song, we have is June Marlowe, a little girl who just returned from the great California fair in San Diego, where she's been a sensational success. For comedy, well, folks, we really have comedy. Frank McHugh and Alan Jenkins, the starring comedians of dozens of Warner Brothers pictures. And I know we're in for a lot of laughs. And last but not least, for music, ladies and gentlemen, we have Shell Chateau's own famous maestro, Victor C. Young. Naturally, you folks wonder what G stands for. Zeebock. Victor Zeebock Young. And I must tell you right here one little thing about Victor. This is kind of a secret. Since Victor came to Hollywood, he's become a lover, as great as any screen's leading man. Yes, sir, Victor is a Don Juan. Just to give you an idea what a great lover Victor is, I found a letter. Listen, I found a letter he wrote to his sweetheart last night, and he don't even know that I have it. Skip this. He says, "My darling, I love you. Dearest, I adore you. I swim the river and ocean for you. I break shot and shell for you. I go through fire, wind, and storm for you. There's nothing I wouldn't do for you. P.S. I'll be over next Saturday if it don't rain." Oh, that's it, sir. Well, folks, right now I'm going to ask Victor to play a song for me. But the number I introduced in Shell Chateau several weeks ago from his very Mary and David picture pays the story. The song has become number one, so I don't have to tell you the name of it. Shell out, Victor, shell out.
Each little word you utter is like a melody, like a tuneful spoonful of music to me. Each little smile you give me is like an April day. I miss you every moment you're away. When the moon is new, I always make a little wish or two. And when I want someone to tell them to, what do? I taste the glory. When the stars grow bright and sprinkle all the shadows with their light, to add a little bit of romance to a lovely night, I taste the glory. I've never seen a sunset, a rainbow in the sky, that ever could compare with the glory of your eyes. So when we're apart, and I begin to feel the teardrop start, and when I get that empty feeling way down in my heart, I taste this glory. When the moon is new, I always make a little wish or two. And when I want someone to tell them to, what do? I taste this glory. When the stars grow bright and sprinkle all the shadows with their light, to add a little bit of romance to a lovely night, I taste the glory. I've never seen a sunset, a rainbow in the sky, that ever could compare with the glory of your eyes. So when we're apart, and I begin to feel the teardrops start, and when I get that empty feeling way down in my heart, I pay for it, Lord, Lord.
Our first guest is Chelsea Door tonight, to the tennis champion. He's won more cups than you ever saw in your life. I'll never forget the time I won a cup in a tennis tournament. I brought the call for the cup home and showed it to my dad, and he said, why don't you play again? Maybe they'll give you a saucer. But don't laugh, that isn't so funny. But the young man we have with us tonight really accomplished the impossible 10 days ago. Ladies and gentlemen, when he won the national singles championship of the United States away from Fred Perry, the Englishman who has held it for the last 2 years. This chap Ellison is a Texan. His name is Wilmer Ellison, and he's just arrived in Chelsea Door this minute. Come on out here, Wilmer. Let him see you.
Hello, Al. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen.
Wait a minute, Wilmer. How'd you make out in your match this afternoon?
Al, we just closed them out. We were playing Brewster and Bruno in the French. Johnny Van Ryan and I finally beat them. 6-4, 6-4, 7-9, and 6-4.
Congratulations, Wilmer. But listen, I watched you playing over at the Los Angeles Tennis Club yesterday, and the way you swing at a ball reminded me of Babe Ruth. Tell me, did you ever play any baseball?
Well, as a matter of fact, I did. When I got out of high school, I had an offer to play professional ball in the Texas League.
A Texas leader, huh? Did you take the offer?
No, Al. My father didn't want me to be a pro, so I turned it down. The next day, he bought me a tennis racket. That fall, I went to the University of Texas, and then I really began to learn the game.
Well, who taught you?
The greatest tennis coach in the country. He doesn't get paid for it, either.
What's the matter with him? Is he a socialist, or does he need money?
It isn't that. Dr. Feeney coaches tennis for the fun of it. But his real job is teaching in the university. He teaches Greek.
Greek? You mean like Patrick Bliss and Sparky Sackers?
No. His Greek is the real stuff.
Well, that's fine, but I'm not interested in Greek. I get enough of it when I go to a restaurant. Listen. What I want to hear about is your match with Fred Perry last week. Tell me, did you feel you were going to win before you started?
No, but I thought I had a pretty good chance.
Come on, Wilmer, tell us about it.
Well, Al, you know in tennis, the fellow who serves is supposed to have a big advantage.
Sure, I know. He hits the ball first.
That's it. So in an argument, it's better just to win your own service every time. And just when the other fellow's won, you win the set.
I get it. Well, who served first, you or Perry?
I did, and I won that game. Then in the fourth game, I broke through Perry's service to make it 3-1.
I'll bet that made you happy.
Well, I was for a minute. But Perry won the next 2 games, and we were even.
Oh, I get it. You mean he broke through your service?
Yes.
You shouldn't let him do that, Wilmer.
You're telling me.
I'm only kidding. Go ahead.
Well, we each won our service games until the score was 6-5.
Well, wait a minute, Wilmer. How many games are there in a set?
Well, you see, Al, just for the sake of argument.
Who's arguing?
Well, anyway... The first man to get 6 games wins the set, but he has to be at least 2 games ahead to win. So if the score is 5-5 and I win the next game, I need one more to win the set.
I understand it, Wilma. It's just like my old game. Well, look, the score is 6-5 in your favor, and Terry is serving. Are we set?
Yes. And I managed to break through in that time and win the set.
That's the first set, and the match is 3 out of 5 sets, right?
Yes.
I think I'll sit down.
Anyway, in the second set, I went to work even harder, and I finally won it 6-3.
Well, so now you're leading 2 sets to no set.
Yeah. In the third
set?
All right, the third set. We fought pretty evenly, each of us winning our own service, until it was my third and the score was 4-3. That was the game Perry decided he had to have. If he could pull even the score off, he still had a good chance to save the match. On the other hand, I knew he wanted that game, and I figured if I could win it, the match was in the bag for me.
Wrong, Wilma. Now I'm beginning to learn my tennis. What happened next?
Well, Perry went after the game with all he had. And before I knew it, he'd won the first 2 points. But with the score left 30 against me, I managed to shoot over a curve at ace. And on the next board, I scored with a volley to make it 30 all. Then we seesawed back and forth.
Yeah.
Four went to deuce 4 times. It wasn't until the 14th point that I was able to put over the winning shot.
Love that deuce. You got me nuts. But all right, Wilma, you need one more game. Go on, what happened next? Come on, tell us.
Well, it was shaking Perry a little to lose that 8th game, but he was serving. He wasn't through yet. He got the first point with a deuce smash. I got the second with a drive to his backhand corner. He came back to win the third, so he was leading 30-15. On the next point, we exchanged drives for a while, and I managed to get up to the net and finish it off with a cross-court volley.
Boy, I'm excited. That makes it 30-0. Go on, Wilma, go on.
On the next point, we had another long diving exchange. Finally, I worked my way up to the net again, and then Fred tried to lob over my head.
He tried to put a lob over your head? Fine guy, those Englishmen.
Yeah, I was able to smash it and win that point.
40-30, match point, folks. Go ahead, Wilma.
Well, Perry sent over terrific service. I barely managed to get it back. Fred slammed my return to the other corner, and I got that back. After a couple more exchanges, I got to the net again. Just as I got there, Perry got a terrific drive down my forehand alley. I was going to play it. I could have reached it easily, but I thought it was going to be out, so I let it go. I watched it land, and it seemed like an eternity before it lined my heart out.
Same second match. I wish I could have been here to see it, but oh, say, I love to watch tennis, but I don't play it so good. But golf, now there's a game. I'd like to play golf with you sometime, Wilma.
I'd like to have fun, Al. I play golf a little.
You do?
Yes, when I was in London for the Wimbledon matches, I played 18 holes with a friend of yours, Lawson Little.
Lawson Little? Hey, by the way, when you played Little, what was your score for the 18 holes?
I got a 68.
A 68? Just like that, you say it. Mm. Well, a 68. Mm-hmm. Well, come up to my house, man. We're playing tishy-tishy.
Well, I play that, too.
What'd you say, Wilma?
I said I'll play a little of that, too.
Oh, a little of that. All right. Well, you know too many games, Wilma. I know you know golf and tennis, but I didn't know you knew tishy-tishy. But anyway, I hope you win another title in the Pacific Southwest Final tomorrow. And I know all the folks here in Chalcetown will be pulling for you, too. So long, and good luck. You know those kids that work here in Chalcetown, Jack Penn and Peggy Gardner? Well, a funny thing happened to him yesterday. Jack, you know, is a great baseball fan. And yesterday afternoon, he got some time off, and he was going to take Peggy to the ballgame. Well, he called for her about 1 o'clock, and she wasn't ready. By the time she got downstairs, they missed the bus. Well, when it finally got to the baseball field, the game was already in the 8th inning. Well, Jack was burning. Vaughn was so mad, he said, "What's the score? What's the score?" And somebody said, "Nothing to nothing." And Peggy said, "Why, Jack, isn't that wonderful? Look, we haven't missed a thing." Well, Jack forgave her, and I guess that's love. Anyway, the kids are going to sing "One Alone" from the Desert Song, Jack Penn and Peggy Gardner.
Lonely as a desert breeze,
I may wander where I please, yet I keep on longing just to let the fall. Oh,
to be so
comedy team Frank McHugh and Alan Jenkins. It's a funny thing. The other night, McHugh and Jenkins went to a party where they had a little too much beer.
Don't we all?
While driving home, Jenkins said to McHugh, who was at the wheel, and said, "Hey, you better be careful how you drive. First thing you know, you'll be running as high in a ditch." McHugh looked up and said,
"Who, me? I thought you were driving."
Well, anyway, it's a pleasure to welcome the boy to Shout It All. What will present a scene from Jimmy Gleason's famous comedy is Jack Sow, with Frank McHugh as Cat Purley, Alan Jenkins as Chick Cowan, and George Meeker as Clinton Blackburn. It is night, and under the streetlight glare on Fifth Avenue by the edge of Central Park, Chick is seated on a bench, half leaning against the wall. Chick is idly picking up pebbles and tossing them when he notices a cigarette butt. He looks at it several times and glances at Pat's back. He picks up the butt and examines it to see what the name is. He scratches a match to light it, which attracts Pat's attention.
Cut what out?
Cut that out.
What?
Pat, you know what I mean, eh? Cut it out and throw it away.
Is that so?
Yes, that's so, and throw it away now.
Is that so?
Yes, that's so, and throw it away now.
When was you my old man?
Never mind about me being your old man. Cut it out and throw it away.
Is that so?
And if you pull that one again, I'll smack you down well away to no well away.
Oh, Hap, what's the idea? I ain't trying to mouth.
Come on, smoke it. Smoke your head off. Here's a whole one. Smoke yourself in your grave for all I care. I just grieve over a bum like you.
Bum?
You hide me, bum. You ain't worth a half a pint of river water to take to drown you.
I'm done with you. You mean I'm done with the fighting game?
I mean you better get back and get the rear end of that Brooklyn streetcar and leave Brock fighting as them can stand it.
You a fighter. That's a hot one. You a fighter. Well, who was the first one to tell me I could fight? You did. You was the first.
And what a sap I went to. Fighter! Why, you couldn't fight a paralyzed blind man unless they muzzled him for you.
Fighter.
Yeah. How a devil fighter. What'd you do tonight? Go ahead, what you do tonight?
Well,
I'll tell you what you done. You deliberately got yourself knocked out through a fight and your manager deliberate.
Well, I wasn't out long.
They counted 10 on you, didn't they?
Well, huh? I told you that Pollock Chandler.
That Pollock Chandler. What if he did wave a towel at you? What are you, a horse? Did you got a giant and everything?
Well, I was sick. I didn't have enough to eat today.
Yeah? And what did I have? So you could have something you got.
I'll tell you. Nothing.
But I ain't clapping at that. It's all in a day's work with me. But to have you go in up against that setup and then throw it...
Well, I had to walk all the way up to 116th Street.
Yeah, and who walked it twice? And back.
I did.
Once to make the match and once to see you chuck it away.
I'm sorry about that show tonight. And I'm sorry I ever looked at that Paula Candlett. Honest, Hap. I'll never look at another Pollock as long as I live. Hap, I never meant to lose that boat tonight. Honest, I never. Hap, you ain't gonna give me the air, are you?
Listen, stupid, you give yourself the air. Now, I hope you got enough of it. Shut up. Let me read my paper.
Oh, Hap. What you reading?
The help wanted, mail. I suppose you ain't interested in that none, huh?
Well, here comes a good time Charlie, all right. He's lit up like Broadway. Hey, what's
your watch?
Mr.
Duck. Wanted to see if you were another
trainer.
Here. Hey.
Mr. Duck, there,
too. Say, do you
want to
fight?
Sure, we want to fight. I'm your class manager. He fights 1.7 ringside. He fights anybody, see?
I'm going to take his coat off.
What?
Take your coat off, young fellow. Now, you'll be the best showing you ever had.
You mean you want to fight him yourself?
That's what I said.
That's a very sick coward of Brooklyn.
I don't care. These devil surgeons in full uniform. Come on, Mr. Chicken Hooters. I'll show you to take a beating.
I'll tell you, I'm here to set this game.
Listen, brother. You don't want to battle with me. On a level, you lit up like Broadway, and I could make cash out of you in a minute. Now, you sober up, see? And then I'll come around, and we'll save you good going in your backyard. What do you say?
I'll fight you now.
Ah, listen, brother.
Let's postpone this till we're all feeling better.
Besides, you wouldn't want to take advantage of a lad that's sick, would you?
Sick?
Who's sick? Hey, Ed. He's been sick all day. And he had a bad fall tonight.
Oh, is that really so? Are you sick?
Yeah. I ain't been feeling very good today.
Oh, well, I certainly would never take advantage of any sick man.
I tell you what you do. When you're feeling yourself again, you come around and we'll have a bout.
Is it a go?
It certainly is, mister.
Is that so? Well, they'll fight when and where I tell him so. Product manager.
Well, you must be a mighty bad manager to let me get sick. Am I right or am I not right?
Mr.
Hurley. Half Hurley.
I tell Mr. Hurley. And this young man?
Kenny Chickcrown of Brooklyn.
Oh, I haven't heard of you in quite some time. Oh, pardon me. My name is my card.
Thanks. Here, you give me three. Mr. Blackboy. Mr. Blackboy, Jake.
Pleased to meet you, Mr. Blackboy.
Mr. C. Clinton Blackboy.
Pleased to meet you, Mr. C. Clinton Blackboy.
Hey, what do you think you're doing, a portable act?
Pleased to meet you.
Sure, you gentlemen. The pleasure is all mine. Oh, I remember seeing you with young Kenny.
Yeah?
And what a license he gave that big gorilla.
You haven't been in things lately, have you?
I'll say we haven't.
What's the matter?
Come on. Tell him.
Well,
never mind. I'll tell him. Well, things are going pretty bad for us, and we're under lock for fair. Till finally I run onto a chance of a winner take all over the AC at 115th Street. Got my phone this morning to make a mess, leaving him our last 20 cents to eat on. And I walked all the way up and back. But we both bought our six bells. He wraps the bag a couple of minutes, take a shower, somebody's taken to a bowl of soup, and in he goes with a perfect setup that he should have lambed once in the mess.
What does he do then?
No. He stalls for round a half. Finally, a Pollock handler we got in our corner waves a towel at him. This breaking thing tends to take a peek at the Pollock and Zowie. The setup cop him on the button for a clean KO. Then he goes and kisses a canvas for a stay down of 181. Well, after Ryan and Pollock brung him too, and I laced a couple into Mr. Pollock, we vanced the club. And this is as far as we got in our first halt for time and wind, and that's that.
You mean to say the poor boy had to bite on an empty stomach after walking all the way to town?
Oh, I had enough to eat. And the walk was like a little train.
Well, I walked it twice and I had nothing to eat.
This is really terrible. Have call a cab, will you? You boys must come over to my house and have something to eat.
There are no cabs in sight. Where do you live?
945 Fifth Avenue.
Oh, that's right across the street.
Why, sure.
Oh, yes, there is. Well, come on, boys, and we'll feed ourselves. Say, tell me, Hap, is Chick still good?
Good. I'll tell a while. This guy is there.
Well, maybe you boys might be able to do me a little favor, if you will. Perhaps we can come to some sort of a business arrangement.
What do you want us to do? Take a poke at somebody?
You're always taking a poke at somebody. It's a wonder you wouldn't save them for your regular battles. You wouldn't hit the mat so often.
Is that so?
Yes, that's so.
Is that so?
Shut up and let him get through.
Go ahead, Clint. Now, there's a man in my house who's a crook.
Yeah?
Yeah.
And this man is taking advantage of a personal situation in which I'm also interested in order to gain a pecuniary profit. You understand?
No, I don't quite.
Is that new? Do you ever understand?
Oh, Hap, don't you never let up on a thing.
Nah, that's the only way to pound it into your law. Keep at it all the time.
Is that so?
Yes, that's so.
Is that so?
Shut up and we can get through.
Go on. Now, all I want, there's plenty of room in my house. You boys can stay there as long as you like. I'll take you until you're on your feet again. Now, this man that I just left.
We don't do no murder.
Will you shut up and let a man with a brain or two talk? Will you? Will you?
Go on, Ben. Act like you wasn't with us. Act like you wasn't there. Go ahead.
Now, all I want you boys to do is to get me back into shape again physically. I'll attend to the man. Pat, you can get Chick ready for another bout in the meantime. And I'll take you in return. You train me.
You can't train on no liquor.
All right, so now arms up. Is it a go?
Sounds good to me.
And who knows? This might prove the turning point in all our lives. Who knows?
He don't. Ah, oh, halfway off, will you?
Yes, and I really think you're too hard on the boy. I know he feels the deepest contrition for what he's done, don't you, Chief?
In the first place, he don't know what it is. In the second place, I don't either. But I'll call it a day if you'll prove to me in the world there's something underneath his hair besides concrete.
There you are, Chick. What do you say?
When do we eat?
What they do? You can't even
tie
that guy.
I'm sorry, boys. I've forgotten. Come on, and we'll get around the festive board.
Gee, Hap, do you think it's all right?
Hey, says yes, sir. Didn't I tell you if you said to me you'd be living on Fifth Avenue? Last week, ladies and gentlemen, I sang a medley of three of my favorite songs of the last 15 years. It can't be taken through from you folks here in Shelterville that tonight I want to sing you three more. In fact, I really think that these three are just as good as the ones that I sang last Saturday. And I know I don't have to tell you the names of a single one of them. If you please, Victor.
Every little breeze is kind of love and dying at sundown. Every little bird is resting and feather nesting at sundown. Each little rosebud is sleeping while a shadow are creeping in a little cottage cozy. The world be rosy at sundown. Well, a loving smile will greet me and always meet me at sundown. I seem to sigh, I'm in heaven. When night is falling and love is calling me home. What? Yes, I will come on. And evening is nigh. My heart in a mile. My blue heaven. I turn to the light. A little white light will lead you to my blue heaven. Your smiling face, a fireplace, a cozy room, a little nest that nestles where the roses bloom. Just Molly and me, and baby may dream. We're happy in my blue heaven. Night and day, you are the one. Only you beneath the moon and under the stars. Whether near, the near far, it no matter, darling, where you are, I think of you. Night and day. Yeah, no.
is it so? That this longing for you follows wherever I go. In the roaring traffic boom, in the silence of my lonely room, I think of you. Night and day, day and night, under the hide of me, there's oh such a hungry yearning burning inside of me, and its torment won't be through till you let me spend my life making a love to you. Day and night, night and day.
Shout-out goes to folks for Deck and Shelter Dome. The show is going on. Tonight we're presenting Woolman Allison, Frank McHugh, Alan Jenkins, June Morrow, Ricardo Cortez, and Victor Young in the music. And right now, Victor's going to play for you a medley of his own composition. Every one of them is a great tune, and Victor's going to play them the way only Victor's Weebop Young can play them. Now, you folks must wonder why I call Victor Weebop. Boy, it's an awful gag, but I've got to tell it. The reason I call him Weebop, he's the toast of the town. Play on, Victor.
Thank you.
last Sunday I drove down to the fair at San Diego.
And believe me, ladies and gentlemen, it's a great fair. But with one entertainer down there that really got me. She's a singer, a blues singer. Her name is June Marlowe. And as soon as I heard her, I decided we must have her in Shelter Grove. Well, she's here tonight, and I know you're going to like her. Besides being a singer of songs, Miss Marlowe is a lover of animals. As a matter of fact, in her home, she has any number of little pets. She has dogs, cats, turtles, parrots, and all kinds of birds. Well, the moment Victor Young heard about this, he rushed up here and said, Miss Marlowe, would you accept a monkey? She turned around to him and said, Victor Young, are you proposing? Well, here she is, ladies and gentlemen, June Marlowe singing, Swing It, Swing It. And I've got to be there. Swing it.
When I see things going places, my life has color. Without new songs, without new friends and faces, would be much duller. Whenever people step up to say, let's step tonight, if I've been low, I step up, forget the future's bright. Whenever there's a party I can go to, it makes the world feel right. When you get in sweating and couples are playing, I gotta be there, I gotta be there. When joy's in the making and feelings are taking, there's never a care, I gotta be there. Get my breath and throw the stuff away. I'm a man who's gonna play when bodies are popping and dignity's dropping. The lights won't flare. I got to there say, I know every cocktail makes you. I've got what it takes to fix your party. That's why I got to be there. And love the songs, I know the latest. And of the shows, I know the greatest. Black out. That's why I gotta be man when it comes to dancing. Here's the latest craze. You won't forget it for days and days. So come, let's bring it. Here's the biggest happening. Just bring it. Anything can happen. It started in Harlem and then in a flash. It traveled from Harlem. Now Park Avenue is taking us to play swinging. Newer than the number. Just swing it. Calling out a number. They do it in London. They do it in France. We're hot and smoky. Smoky, smoky. Just let's only swing it.
Well, you swung it, honey. You swung it. Our next guest is a man, ladies and gentlemen, you've seen many times in many pictures. He was a star in the silent age. In fact, he was Greta Garbo's leading man in the first picture she made in America. But talking pictures made him even bigger than he was before. His name is Ricardo Cortez, and it's a pleasure to welcome him to Shell Chateau tonight. He will appear in a one-act play called The Finger of God by Percival Wilde with Miss Florida Freebus and Mr. Wally Mayer. But first, I'd like you to meet him in person, Ricardo Cortez.
I'm the pleasant, the scene, the lavishly appointed living room of Scott Strickland's apartment. Don Strickland, rather. Strickland, a prominent figure in the world of finance, is striding nervously back and forth as Benson, his manservant, is putting the finishing touches to a traveling bag which he's packing. Suddenly, the telephone begins to ring. Shall I answer, sir?
No. No, don't touch the phone. Benson.
Yes, sir.
Close the window. It's cold.
The window is closed, sir. It's been closed all evening, sir.
Benson.
Yes, sir.
Don't forget. A heavy coat, fresh linen, and plenty of ties.
Yes, sir. I've looked out for everything.